Hi, Krishna.
Hey, Krishna, Mother Sita.
This is two of us so far.
Because what happened?
Sorry?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Welcome to our first... Oh my goodness. This is going to be a learning experience because I am next to Maharaja's room and I see myself speaking there. And maybe I need to move somewhere.
Maybe you want to go downstairs.
Yeah. See, I'm sorry. I'm learning to use the technology. I wanted to be here, but it may not work well. So I am relocating. Upstairs. So thank you very much, all of you, for joining for our first reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita with our Maharaj. And I'm so happy and grateful that Maharaj kindly agreed to do the reading with all of us for our spiritual upliftment and inspiration and growth. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So Maharaj is going to start to read the introduction, maybe a paragraph or two. Then he's going to give introductory talk. And then he's going to go to the first verse, which he's going to elaborate on as well. Meanwhile, he might be asking us for questions. So let's again welcome and be grateful to Varshana Maharaj for allowing us to hear him, even though it's over the Zoom, but that's better than nothing. So thank you, Maharaj, and let's start.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Vrindavananda. Glories to Advaita Chanda, or glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Maganatala Mandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshara Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva. Before starting, I would like to address the topic of attaining proper admittance into the study of Shastra. Our approach here will not be empiric. Empiric theology leads only as far as the conclusion that the guidance of Guru is essential, meaning the person Bhagavat, who has to be served for the message of Bhagavat to be revealed within our hearts. We have to serve the person Bhagavat with an emphasis on submissive oral reception with our ears and heart open. To enter the realm of Shastra, we have to consider the mood of the speaker with an intent to hear from him not with our physical senses, but with our heart. We have to open our heart to hear the message from his heart, wherein we discern the heartbeat of the Shastra. So the normal question is, how do we open the heart? And it's feelings of love, compassion, confidence, kindness, security that allow the heart to open. And in so doing, dispelling the fears and doubts that close the heart and resist the possibility of positive change and transformation. So with the intent, any process is more fruitful if we're intentional. We begin with establishing our intent. And for those who are really serious, you can even go so far as to establish the sankalpa. So I'll begin with the first paragraph of the introduction. And because it's very long and very philosophical, we'll go from there to the first verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The introduction, taken from 5 morning lectures that Srila Prabhupada gave in New York in 1967, he begins, "The word Chaitanya means living force or life force. As living entities, we can move, but a table cannot because it does not possess living force. Movement and activity may be considered to be signs or symptoms of the living force. Indeed, it may be said that there can be no activity without the living force. Although the living force is present in the material condition, it is not amrita, immortal. The word Chaitanya Charitamrita then may be translated as the character of the living force in immortality." To glimpse into the heart of the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, we don't need to elaborate because he himself tells as much of his story as is relevant to glorify Lord Nityananda and Mahaprabhu in the 5th chapter of the Adi Lila. But before we start with an intent to understand the heart of the author, we should consider a few details of his story, excerpted from what he tells in the 5th chapter. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had a brother named Shyamdas Kaviraj. And when there was a 24-hour kirtan going on at his house, Lord Nityananda's dear associate, Miniketanam Ramdas, was invited. And when he arrived, the pujari, who was serving the deities, did not offer him obeisances, whereas all the other devotees did. Now, Miniketanam Ramdas was a great Vaishnav and an avadut as well, because he's a dear devotee of Lord Nityananda. His behavior was quite ecstatic, which was astonishing to some of the guests present. And Gunandava Mishra, the pujari, did not offer his obeisances. Now, Miniketan Ram Das was so spontaneous that when people offered obeisances to him, he would climb on their back in a very playful mood. Or he would hit them with his flute or slap them in a very playful, innocent, childlike manner and chastise them. Where have you been for so long? I was missing you. And this was this ecstatic, childlike, cowherd boy behavior was so pleasing to the devotees. But Gunarnava Mishra, the very Pukka Brahmin, didn't show him respect. And therefore, Miniketan Ram Das chastised Gunarnava Mishra. Just look, this is a second Ramaharshan Sutta, who did not come forward to show respect when Lord Balaram came before him. And then he broke his flute to indicate how deeply wounded and hurt he was and left. At that point, it was clear because Shyamdas Kaviraj, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother, he took the side of Gunarnava Mishra. And Kaviraj Goswami, he's still a householder at this time, chastised his brother. He said, it is better to be an atheist than to deny, and better be an atheist and deny the divinity of both, meaning Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, than a hypocrite who believes in one and not the other. Because Kaviraj Goswami's brother, Shyamdas Kaviraj, had great faith in Lord Chaitanya, but practically no faith in Lord Nityananda. So Kaviraj Goswami, taking the part of Nityananda Prabhu's associate and chastising his brother, he won the blessings of Lord Nityananda Prabhu himself, who came to him in a dream at night and told him, O Krishnadas, have no fear. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. Then he waved his hand in the direction of Vrindavan, and with all the Gopa associates who appeared with him, they all disappeared. And Kaviraj Goswami left immediately for Vrindavan. Now, in these first verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find out that, you know, just after the 14 Sanskrit verses, which are an elaboration on the first verse, after which Kaviraj Goswami tells how he achieved darshan and shelter of Madan Mohan and Sanatan Goswami, Radha Govinda and Rupa Goswami, Radha Gopinath and Raghunath Das Goswami, meaning Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, which is everything he had achieved. So, the first verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita is an invocation verse, elaborated in the following Sanskrit verses, and then elaborated more in the rest of the entire first chapter, which expands upon this invocation verse. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So Kaviraj Goswami is acknowledging that without the blessings of the grace and blessings of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, it is impossible to describe their glories. And therefore, he begins every single chapter of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita with invocations to Mahaprabhu and his associates. And he concludes each and every chapter with a prayer for service to the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath Goswamis. So, Kaviraj Goswami completed what Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur did not. Because Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote an elaborate outline for Mahaprabhu's Leela when he began his Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Vrindavan Das Thakur is the Vyasadev for Chaitanya Leela. So he wrote an elaborate outline when he began his work, but being another dear devotee of Lord Nityananda, he became so absorbed in describing Lord Nityananda's activities that so many of the events mentioned in the outline were omitted. Not omitted, but not completed in the final version of the book. And the devotees in Vrindavan were afraid that these pastimes would be lost. And so they approached Kaviraj Goswami, asking him to write down a full version of these events, after which Krishnadas went to the deity of Madan Mohan and asked permission to do what the Vaishnavas had requested. And right there in front of all those prominent contemporary Vaishnavas of the Gaudiya community in Vrindavan, Madan Mohan's garland fell down from his neck, which everyone took as a sign of the Lord's approval and blessings, and they erupted in a joyous cheer. And Madan Mohan's pujari placed that garland around Krishnadas's neck as a symbol of the deity's desire and blessings. So taking those blessings to heart, he began Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is another form of Vyasadeva for Chaitanya Leela. And Mahaprabhu's glorious name, form, qualities, and pastimes all manifest in the heart as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which he states throughout the book. And in commenting on the glory and supremacy of Chaitanya Charitamrita to his disciples, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati instructed them that if all the books in the world were destroyed, leaving only Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, then the people of this world would still be able to achieve the ultimate goal in life. And even if the Srimad Bhagavatam were lost, leaving only Chaitanya Charitamrita, there would still be no loss for humanity, because that which was not revealed in the Bhagavatam is found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, along with the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. The supreme absolute truth is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the combined form of Radha and Krishna. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Radha and Krishna in their sound incarnation, the divine mystery of Srimati Radharani's divine status and glories are found therein. Can there be any doubt, therefore, of the supreme status of this piece of transcendental literature? That is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's glorification of the supremacy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which further elaboration was granted to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as he was writing his commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Revealing the deepest, most esoteric truths of divinity
as revealed to him, and showing that every word he wrote was to be taken as the supreme spiritual truth. And while Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was writing his commentary, he was unable to understand something Kaviraj Goswami wrote in one verse, that the Kama Gayatri Mantra consists of only 24 and a half syllables rather than what was usually accepted as 25. He was so distraught by his inability to comprehend that he took a vow to fast until death on the banks of Radhakund. And in the middle of the night, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu appeared to him in a dream and said, "O Vishwanath, get up. Krishnadas has indeed written correctly. He is my dear girlfriend," meaning that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is Kasturya Manjari, a dear friend of Tulsi Manjari, who is Raghunath Das Goswami's ontological form. So Radha is saying he, or she, is my dear girlfriend who brings me so much pleasure. I have blessed him, meaning Kaviraj Goswami, so that he can understand the most intimate, intricate details about me. So do not doubt anything he has written. So Kaviraj Goswami received mantra initiation from Lord Nityananda in his hometown. And he became the siksha disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was his neighbor in the next Bhajan Kutir on the banks of Radhakund, where Chaitanya Charitamrita took birth. So regarding the first verse, which is the invocation, "I make my prostrated obeisances to Sri Guru in the two forms of the guide who imparts enlightenment, as well as those who teach the function of divine service to prevent lapse into the conditioned state. Obeisances to the devotees of the Lord, to the Lord himself, and those eternal forms in which the Lord manifests his appearances as avatars on the mundane plane. I bow down to the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself in all the divine categories. Obeisances to Sri Chaitanya with Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon, risen in conjunction on the eastern hill of Gaudadesh. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests his appearance in this world in order to distribute by his causeless mercy the highest loving service of himself that had never been bestowed on the conditioned souls of this world prior to his appearance. May that Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, resplendent with the concentrated luster of beautiful shining gold, manifest himself in the innermost chambers of the hearts of all." So this auspicious invocation, offering submission to Krishna, Sri Guru, and the Vaishnavas, establishes the only condition for attaining to pure loving devotional service to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and his devotees. The fulfillment of this condition assures the success of the undertaking by enabling all persons who hear the narrative of the deeds of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to obtain his divine grace in the form of the highest quality of devotion to the feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So in the opening verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami has described in some detail for our benefit the nature, purpose, and necessity of the auspicious invocation as preliminary for any success in spiritual undertakings. So let's consider the significance of this auspicious invocation, which Kaviraj Goswami himself analyzes in three parts. One is the postulation, which is the hypothesis or the claim of the subject matter. Second is the benedictory purpose, beseeching benedictions. And the third is offering submissive obeisances. Lord Chaitanya's deeds were manifest to the vision of the people of this world so that all conditioned souls might attain the realization of loving devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, which constitutes the highest platform of the service of the divinity and the knowledge which had not been divulged to any soul in this world in any former dispensation by any avatar. All this will dawn in the hearts of all persons who really seek the truth by the causeless mercy of the Son of Satyadevi. Then, in the upcoming verses of the first chapter, Kaviraj Goswami explains the secondary purpose, which you might call the external purpose for the appearance of Mahaprabhu in this world, in bestowing loving devotional service to all conditioned souls. That is his external secondary purpose in coming. And there's another purpose, which is the main cause of his advent, the internal purpose, which is not explicitly mentioned in scriptures, but is recognizable as the hidden import of the scripture. The main purpose, the internal reason, the esoteric understanding, is that Krishna is anxious to learn how Radha realizes his sweetness and beauty. And in order to share in this experience, Sri Krishna clothes himself with the mood and luster of Sri Radha and appears in a form of eternal union with her, alongside and identical with the divine couple. And this internal purpose, this hidden significance in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, distinguishes his lila from that of Sri Krishna. Then Kaviraj Goswami continues to elaborate on the glories of Lord Nityananda and Sri Advaita, the inseparably associated, who are inseparably associated with the appearance of Mahaprabhu in this world. And this is very important for us to understand, that it is not possible to realize the nature of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya without knowledge of the personalities of Sri Nityananda and Advaita, who form the connection between Sri Krishna and this mundane world. Back to the first verse. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon, who have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaudadesh, to dispel the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Then in the third verse, Kaviraj Goswami explains how what the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of Mahaprabhu, and the super soul is his local plenary portion. He, Lord Chaitanya, is the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to him. Then by the time he reaches the fifth verse, Kaviraj Goswami is revealing the internal purpose for Lord Chaitanya's coming. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in identity, they have separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have become united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. And then in the sixth verse, he crystallizes the essence of the internal purpose for Lord Chaitanya's coming. Desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appears from the womb of Sachidevi, just as the moon appearing from the ocean. In the seventh verse, he begins to glorify Lord Nityananda Ram, which continues until the 12th verse, where he begins his glorification of Sri Advaita Acharya. And then he reiterates what he establishes in his premise. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is non-different from his features as a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Here, he is glorifying the entire Panchatattva. And then in the 15th verse, he glorifies Radha Madan Mohan, the next verse, the 16th, is glorifying Radha Govinda. 17th verse, he's glorifying Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa Lila, and Gopinath standing on the shore of Vamsivat attracts the attention of the cowherd girls with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Here he's seeking blessings from the three main deities of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, who he describes further in the 19th verse as having absorb the heart and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. I worship their lotus feet, for they are the lords of my heart. And this is the first verse in which Srila Prabhupada offers a purport, in which he explains how these three deities are the life and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who have a natural aptitude for residing in Vrindavan. And he explains the function of these three deities in terms of what they embody as Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And then in the 20th verse, in the beginning of this narration, simply by remembering the spiritual master, the devotees of the Lord, and the personality of Godhead, I have invoked their benediction. And then verse 21, he explains what such remembrance achieves. It destroys all difficulties and enables one to fulfill his own aspirations. And then, the next verses, he's reflecting upon the invocation verses at the beginning of this chapter, repeating how the invocation involves three processes: defining the objective, offering benedictions, and offering obeisances. And then he says, in the third verse, I indicate the absolute truth, who is the ultimate substance. With such a description, one can visualize the absolute truth. And then later on, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes the appeal that just as Sri Gopinath from the Vamsivat tree on the bank of Jamuna called the gopis by the sound of his celebrated flute, may we all become attracted to Krishna by the nectarian sound in the verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vaishnavism stands alone amongst the revealed religions of the world in providing a specific account of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes, and the individual personalities of the servitors of Godhead Himself. The silence of other religions on this topic should not be misunderstood as implying the non-existence of any or all specification in the Absolute. There is no rational ground for supposing that Godhead is unwilling or unable to disclose his own specific self and divine paraphernalia to the serving impulse of pure souls. That is an introduction to the introduction of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
Thank you, Maharaj, very much. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. So, a practical question. Or first, so if any of you have a question, please raise your hand. And I just found out how to do it this morning. Sita, would you, maybe for those who do not know how to do it, would you just explain how do they raise their hand?
Yeah, you just go to your name and then they just click and, you know, then you go, you will see a little hand. I'll do it. Hold on, it closed for me. But you can just go and raise a hand, and or you can just speak at this point, unmute and speak, like Preetam did. Preetam Prabhu.
Oh, Preetam has, okay. That,
yeah. Can you hear me, Mata?
Yes, we can hear you, Preetam. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. So nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, I have a very generic question. In our ISKCON movement, we place great importance to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, but we have studied and read that actually Chaitanya Charitamrita is basically in two parts. There is a Chaitanya Bhagavat that's written by Vrindavan Das Thakur, and then whatever was not covered in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it was elaborated very in detail by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So my question is, why? I mean, in ISKCON, why are we stressing so much on Chaitanya Charitamrita and not so much on Chaitanya Bhagavat? My understanding could be wrong, but we very rarely hear about Chaitanya Bhagavat, but we hear a lot about Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I mean, I'm not undermining Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm just curious as to why so much we are speaking a lot about Chaitanya Bhagavat. So if you could please elaborate something about that, that would be nice.
Thank you for this wonderful question. When Srila Prabhupada had the decision which of the biographies of Mahaprabhu to translate and comment upon, he chose Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita largely because it is the ultimate theological presentation of Mahaprabhu's glories and teachings. The theology is there in Chaitanya Bhagavat, but it's not so finely developed as it is in CC. And that's why we call CC the postgraduate study of Bhagavatam's teachings. So as we said before, it was the original intention of Vrindavan Das Thakur to write an elaborate account of Mahaprabhu's life. But and you can see it firsthand in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Vrindavan Das Thakur begins singing the glories of Lord Nityananda, who is his guru, he becomes so absorbed that he feared going on indefinitely that would make the book too long. So he concluded at a certain point. And he predicted that what I have failed to reveal, Srila Vyasadeva will do in the future. He's talking about Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Furthermore, Chaitanya Bhagavat deals primarily with the Lord's early Leela, which is very special and charming to devotees. And largely because Kaviraj Goswami barely touches upon the Lord's childhood and early pastimes because Vrindavan Das Thakur had already been done so nicely. So Kaviraj Goswami focuses more on the later pastimes and the theology of Mahaprabhu's teachings. So it's to reveal that super excellent theological masterpiece that Srila Prabhupada chose Chaitanya Charitamrita, because that theology and philosophy, which is all contained in Chaitanya Bhagavat in seed form, is not so developed as it is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, devotees are very attracted to Chaitanya Bhagavat for different reasons. One is the childhood pastimes, which are so charming to the heart and pleasing to the mind. The other thing is Vrindavan Das Thakur really excels at his descriptions of the Leelas in great detail, more so than Kaviraj Goswami. But there again, Srila Prabhupada was very concerned that we have a proper theological understanding. Because, you know, at the turn of the century, from the 1800s to the 1900s, there is an encyclopedia of world religions published in English, wherein it describes Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It equates Gaudiya Vaishnavas as Sahajas, because the Sahajas were what people had taken Mahaprabhu's mission to mean. And their activities were so disgusting, even to low-class people, that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had to fight valiantly for so long and expend so much of their time and energy in this world simply in dispelling the delusions represented and spread by the Apasampradayas and the Sahajas. And they're very deviant misconceptions of Mahaprabhu's teachings. So that created a very deep concern in Srila Prabhupada's heart that we have a very comprehensive, elaborate, deep theology that would dispel any possibility of any misconceptions. And therefore, he gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we have Chaitanya Bhagavat to substitute for the childhood pastimes and the elaborate descriptions that just enchant the hearts of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So to summarize once again, Srila Prabhupada chose Chaitanya Charitamrita for the crystallized theology, which is not so prominent in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Thank you for that question.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anyone else would like to say or ask anything? So, Sharanya, please.
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. Thank you for your class.
Thank you.
With regards to what you mentioned earlier, with you have to serve the person Bhagavat before the Bhagavat in the purpose in the literature manifests. I'm not sure if that's how you said it. It probably wasn't how you said it, but I was just wondering when we join, when we come across the devotees, we often first come across the books and we start reading. How do we get the reciprocation if we haven't met the person Bhagavat, but we are reading the Prabhupada's words? Does that make sense?
The answer is providential grace.
Okay.
Now, can you explain to the devotees what that means?
Providential grace. Mm-hmm. No, Guru Maharaj.
That means when you are sincerely pursuing the spiritual path, it's really what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. For those who worship him with undivided attention in all their hearts, he preserves what they have and carries what they lack. So if your introduction to Krishna consciousness is in the books, which for most of us it is, and you begin reading the books, not so much with an empiric approach, but through submissive oral reception and opening your heart, Srila Prabhupada speaks through his books, and he affirms the super soul within your heart. And super soul, through providential grace, will perform the function of the guru and the person Bhagavat until that person physically manifests in your life. At which point, our focus turns to serving the book Bhagavat, the spiritual master, with emphasis on submissive oral reception, and then hearing both from the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat, which are the passive and active figures in our guidance. Because, you know, you can develop any misunderstanding you want with the book Bhagavat if you don't have someone to correct you and guide you if your understanding is off. So we need to have that personal guidance when it comes into our lives. But back to your question, until that time comes, how are we sustained, nurtured, and guided? That is this wonderful concept of providential grace, how Krishna preserves what we have and carries what we lack.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else?
Maharaj, you said in the beginning that we hear with the intention to understand the heart of the author, meaning Krishna Das Kaviraj. I think you did elaborate it somewhat, but I missed it. Would you say or elaborate on that point, please?
The point is that we cannot understand Shastra by the empiric approach. Empiric theology will lead us only to the understanding of the necessity of being guided by the spiritual master. So, to enter into the proper mood of the Shastra, we have to consider the mood of the speaker with the intent to hear from your heart. Now, why do we keep emphasizing from the heart? Hear from your heart the message from his heart, wherein we discern the heartbeat of Shastra. Why is there so much emphasis on the heart? Because spiritual life begins by submissive oral reception. We hear the Shastra. We hear the holy name. Or just take the holy name. The syllables of the holy name are available anywhere and everywhere. The sublime spiritual truth, living, breathing, performing pastimes within the Maha Mantra, will not be revealed until we open our hearts to receive the mantra through parampara. And proper reception of the Maha Mantra means we open our hearts. The Maha Mantra descends to the depths where our sleeping soul is in a comatose dormant state. And when the sleeping soul hears the pure vibration of Radha and Krishna's holy names as contained in the Maha Mantra, the soul awakens. The soul will not awaken by hearing the mere syllables of the name proclaimed anywhere and everywhere without the realization and the potency to penetrate our hearts, awaken our sleeping soul, and then what happens next? Then we are able to chant from the heart, meaning from your spiritually awakened form within. And that's where real potency begins. So it's the same with Shastra, that until we open our hearts, and we do so by adopting the mood of the author of the Shastra, so that we can understand his intent. And then the Shastra will go to your heart and speak to your soul and awaken your spiritual body and function, wherein real devotional service begins. So empiric theology is a contradiction in terms. We cannot understand the heart of Shastra by empiric approach. We can understand the heart of Shastra by entering the mood of the speaker, by the process of opening our hearts to his message, in which we discern the heartbeat of the Shastra. Did that help any?
Oh, Maharaj, this was just amazing.
And to simplify that all the more, what is the mood of Srila Vyasadeva? And you know, it's a to the empiric theologians, it's baffling that scriptures from vastly different times have the signature of Srila Vyasadeva as the author. So, you know, the empiricists think, well, you know, these devotees, they just fabricated these Shastras and put Srila Vyasadeva's name to it for authenticity. No, it's not that. Because Srila Vyasadeva works and writes either directly or vicariously. And when Srila Vyasadeva is writing through his agent at any time, if Srila Vyasadeva is speaking and writing directly through his agent signs the work Srila Vyasadeva. If Srila Vyasadeva is writing vicariously through his agent, then that agent signs with his own name. But what is the intent? What is the mood of Srila Vyasadeva and all his representatives we worship in Sri Vyas Puja? It is to awaken the sentiment of loving devotional service within the hearts of the audience. That is their mood. That is their intent. And if we approach the Shastra with any other idea, we will not reap the full benefit. The mood of the author is to reveal the pastimes of the Lord within our own hearts. But that will not be achieved unless we enter his mood with the intention of hearing from his heart where the pastimes are already unfolding and blossoming, so that his message can awaken the pastimes of the Lord in our own hearts. And that is actual darshan. That is actual revelation, which cannot be achieved by the empiric approach. All right?
Maharaj, I am spellbound. This was just such another amazing piece of your profound wisdom. And I hope, Sharanya, you will be okay if I say that you might be transcribing this class today. So I'm looking forward to see it.
No, I have something else for Sharanya, because I was thinking of combining the Siddhanta of New Year's resolutions with this reading tonight, but then I realized that would be too much.
Yeah, it might be too much, Maharaj.
Because New Year's resolutions is like a vague understanding of the principle of sankalpa. Which is similar to the principle of invocation. But then I thought that would be too much to try to, it would take too much time to try to combine the two. So Sharanya will be transcribing that. Anyway, just to conclude, consider the appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya was not for the purpose of deliverance of the conditioned souls of this world. The real purpose of his appearance is one that exclusively concerns his divinity. And that's why Kaviraj Goswami writes within those 14 Sanskrit verses, which elaborate upon the first invocation verse. Establishes the first. Right in the sixth verse, the internal purpose for Lord Gauranga's coming, which he elaborates upon greatly in the following chapters. In the sixth verse, he gives the internal purpose for Lord Gauranga's coming, which was not the deliverance of the souls of this world. That was a secondary purpose fulfilled as a consequence of his coming to fulfill his own intention, which is why we say that the appearance and pastimes of Mahaprabhu are grounded in his divinity. They're activities of the internal potency. It was the consequence of his internal purposes in coming that all the souls of this world were delivered. Any other questions, comments, suggestions?
I have more, but I don't want to extend the time. So what I'm thinking to do is that maybe, because I really would like to ask, so it's recorded and it's transcribed my questions. So it's up to you, Maharaj. So one option would be that I ask those questions. No one at the moment. I don't see any hands.
Okay.
Can I ask? May I ask?
Yes.
So in relation to your answer, is it You said the holy name enters and awakens the soul, and you said in the same way the Shastra awakens the soul. However, it is the holy name who bestows the pure love for Krishna, right?
Primarily, yes.
So is it possible that someone might not be chanting like purely, but might be maybe absorbed in Shastra, and that they can still attain the Prema Bhakti? I mean,
well, the Shastra is filled with the holy names of the Lord. So therefore, yes, that same result could be achieved by submissive oral reception of the message of Shastra, because the Shastra is filled with the glories of the holy name and the sound of the holy name. So yes, your Prema Bhakti can be awakened by hearing Shastra.
It's just not the process for this age, right?
Right, because Shastra is elaborate and extensive. Holy name is the condensed essence of all truth and all Shastra. And this is an important point. The holy name amongst the various forms of the Lord, including Shastra, the holy name, due to the subtlety of its nature, is the least likely to be grossly misunderstood. Shastra, especially Bhagavatam, is very likely to be grossly misunderstood, especially the 10th canto, which applies as well to Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore, all the havoc in the world wreaked by these apasampradayas and sahajas. So, Srila Prabhupada's approach was, give us the holy name, least likely to be grossly misunderstood. And then when the holy name awakens your sleeping soul, then you want to hear the Shastra. As the love awakens, you want to hear more and more about Krishna and all his avatars. Therefore, we have the Shastra. But it all begins with meeting the pure devotee and receiving the touchstone of the holy name from his lips. That's how the soul awakens normally.
So my other question is, you said that we need to open our heart to receive the holy name. So what prevents us from opening our heart, please?
Fears, doubts, mainly fears and doubts, and guilt and shame, and insecurities.
Okay, we have the whole list.
And that takes you right back to, how do you open your heart, even if you have those fears and doubts and insecurities and shame and guilt?
Right.
Inferiority complex, and you can go on and on. But how are they dispelled? Love, kindness, compassion, confidence, security, and good Vaishnav association. It just dispels all that darkness.
And all those help to open the heart.
Yes.
So what are the signs of a person who is opening or has the heart open?
A relish for Krishna's holy name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes. Not only, but a deep relish, as confirmed in an eagerness to serve and share. Because after the submissive oral reception, there comes a point when your focus turns to sharing and preaching and distributing the gift that you've received. Because when the heart's open, it starts to fill up to a point at which it overflows, and you become deeply inspired to share the gift you have received. And the symptom will be your ability to open the hearts and touch the hearts of others.
Yes, that makes sense. Thank you, Maharaj, for opening our hearts.
Thank you.
My thanks to all of you.
So, last chance. Anyone would like to say or add anything or ask a question?
Mother, this question is for you. So is this going to be a weekly class going forward?
Yes, Prabhu. Every Saturday, I just heard some requests to change the time, but it will be a weekly meeting, Zoom meeting. I will be posting and reminding devotees. And if something changed, then I will post that. I will inform everyone.
Okay. And where will be the transcriptions be available?
We will inform you.
Okay, thank you.
Let us conclude with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's petitions for the blessings of Lord Gopinath. May that Lord Gopinath, master of the gopis, Krishna, bless you. May you become blessed by Gopinath. Just as Krishna attracted the gopis by the sweet sound of his flute, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita prays that he will also attract the reader's mind by his transcendental vibration contained in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Thank you, Maharaj, and thank you all. And let us absorb our mind and hearts in what we just heard from Maharaj. And we will meet again next Saturday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Maharaj. Thank you all very much.
Hare Krishna.